maybe we should start then, and start going through the formalities before Adam joins the call. So what do we have a set of minutes from Cartagena, I guess, Gabby, is that right?
Yes, they're up.
Okay, so there's been no, those have gone out and I hear that. Who just joined?
I'm Carlos.
Hi, Carlos, how are you?
I'm doing okay, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for making it. We're just about to start. So our minutes from Cartagena can be approved. They've been posted, and no problems. So we can approve those. Gabby, perhaps we should. Oh, who was that?
It's Dottie.
Hi, Dottie. How are you doing?
Sorry to be late.
That's okay. We're just starting. So we've just formally approved the minutes from Cartagena. So, Gabby, what's next?
The actions.
So there's only one outstanding action item as far as I know.
Yes.
That's me.
Yep.
What does it actually say?
It says the chair to look into CCNSO involvement and a cross-community working group on recommendation number 6 and report back to the council.
Yeah, okay. Did somebody just join?
Yeah, this is Young. I just got cut off. I just recently.
Oh, okay, sorry. Welcome back. So I've sent an email to Stefan just to start a dialogue about that working group and our involvement or non-involvement in it, and I will report back as soon as I've had a response. What's next, Gabby?
That was the non-com briefing, which Adam is still not here, so.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next item and we'll interrupt and deal with Adam when he gets on the line.
Okay, next item is the UNESCO iceberg OECD study.
Okay, so everybody will have seen, hopefully, an email from Yanis requesting our cooperation in a UNESCO survey. I sent it out a while ago. Hopefully everybody's been able to have a look at it. And I'm just trying to find it now. Just give me a second. I think it's a great opportunity for us to cooperate and do some work with UNESCO and to say that we would be happy to help. But I also think that it would probably be an opportunity for us to involve the regional organisations, and if we're comfortable, then perhaps what we should do is ask the regional organisations if they would be prepared to assist in sending out the survey jointly with us and UNESCO. How does everybody feel about that? Does anybody have a problem with that? Do they think the survey's outside of what we should be doing? It's not something we should be doing. Was everybody comfortable that we could, obviously subject to seeing the question, we could ask the regional organisations to send that out?
Chris, it's Leslie. I thought it was fine, and I certainly think the regional organisations should be the kind of route for this one. My only comment would be on the outcomes of the survey. It would be very helpful if the CCNSO could have some sort of presentation or some sight of the results, as it were, at some stage.
I think that's right, Leslie, and I would be saying, I think I'd be going back to Yanis and saying, you know, it would be sent out effectively under the signature of the CCNSO and UNESCO and the regional organisations, and that the data would come back to everybody, and there'd be it would all be available to everybody to discuss as they wish. And I don't think Yanis would have a problem with that. I spoke to him after he sent me the email and said I would put it to the council. and that I thought it was that I personally thought it was a good idea, and he's quite happy to be as cooperative as we think is necessary. So I think it's great, obviously, yes, the data is relevant to us as well. So is everyone comfortable, or is anyone uncomfortable if I go back to Yannis and say, yes, we think it should go to the regional organisations because apart from anything else, get a wider, has a chance of getting a wider response, subject obviously to the regional organisations being prepared to agree.
Chris, this is...
Sorry, somebody's saying something?
So, can you hear me, Chris?
Yeah.
This is Patricio. It would certainly be interesting to be able to have access to this information. The only problem I see is that, at least in our case, I'm not sure who, if anybody in Chile, has kept track of the data such as price of local traffic and price of local hosting for the past 10 years.
Sure.
A bit of hard-pressed to find a source for that information.
I agree, and I would find the same problem in Australia, Patricia, but I guess all we can do is try and ask and find out, don't you think?
Yeah, it would be that we, as CCTLDs, would try to come up with this information or to redirect it to someone, or would we be involved or just be endorsing this survey?
I think it would be through us, Patricio. I think we would want to be jointly controlling it. So my suggestion would be that we ask the regional organisations to send it out to their individual CCTLD members, and that when each CCTLD member receives it, those of us that know of, we will get it and see what information we can find.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Well, if there are no objections, what I'll do is send a note to Yannis and say, yes, let's talk about the logistics, and then he and I can discuss the logistics, and I'll involve Eric and Peter and Jan in seeing if we can get it sent out to all of the members of the regional organisations and from us to North America, because there is no regional organisation, and see what responses we can get. Okay, good, excellent. Gabby, what's next? We don't have Adam yet?
Not as far as I know.
Okay.
Christina is chasing him, so...
Okay.
Anyway, next item is approval of DSSA working group volunteers.
Somebody just joined?
Yeah, Adam, good evening.
Hello, Adam. You've joined at a completely appropriate time because we've just finished one item, and you can now...
Oh.
You can now take the floor as the chair of the nominating committee and tell us what it is you want to tell us.
All right.
So over to you.
Thank you very much. First of all, apologies if there's background noise. I've got a visitor here in Tokyo from the US, and I'm entertaining them at the moment, and so I'm stuck on the street outside of a restaurant. So apologies for the bad timing, but I'm calling as chair of the nominating committee and hoping that... the CCNSO will provide us with advice and help and support as we seek candidates for 2011. I'm sorry we weren't able to meet with you in Cartagena, but we will be in San Francisco and hope that will be an opportunity to talk with you. Let me run through what we're doing. We've begun our recruitment process. There's the nominating committee website, which follows the typical ICANN model of nomcom.icann.org, so it's nomcom.icann.org, and the full information and how one would apply, and also how you suggest candidates is available there. The recruitment process continues till April the 4th. Our task this year is to select two ICANN directors, two members of the GNSO, three members of the at-large from Africa, from Asia, Australia and Pacific, and from Latin America and Caribbean, and one member of the CCNSO Council. Jane Jian Zhang is the incumbent member, and her position is the one that we will be selecting, and she is able to stand again. So if you, you know, that would be a good option, and we're looking forward to statements of interest for that position. One of the things we also wish to do is try and increase the transparency, I suppose, in which the nominating committee is operating. And that's one reason for wanting to talk to you, although I'm aware that saying that I'm standing outside of a restaurant doesn't really make that the best way of making that so. But it's a matter of timing for calls. But the committee does want to improve the way it explains its role, explains how it goes about its work. So having said that we are now recruiting, I suppose that's where I can begin and say, you know, I am seeking, and the committee is seeking, your input on candidates, on people that would be suitable and helpful for ICANN, and also your ideas on what type of person, what type of skill sets are necessary, what does ICANN need, and specifically for the CCNSO, what are the skills that an ideal candidate would have. What should we be looking for in a candidate to help you? And if that's a reasonable beginning, then I'll end there. And I should also say that thank you very much. Giovanni Seppier is your representative on the nominating committee and is doing a great job. So Giovanni is your direct contact with us.
Thanks, Adam. In the wider scheme of things, you're looking for input from CCPLD people, not just in respect to a member of the CCNSO Council, but also input in respect to the other positions that you need to fill. And of highest rank, so to speak, us would be board, but we might also be able to recommend people to put in statements of interest for the ALAC and also for the GNSO.
Absolutely, and particularly as the CCNSO has the greatest global reach of any of the committees. I think you are representative of all of the regions, so certainly in terms of bringing in diversity to ICANN, whether it's the ALAC, the directors, or the GNSO, and of course your own council, then that's where we'd be looking for. And I think, you know, I know that the CCs have local communities which are, of course, they go beyond the typical ICANN community. It's into ISPs and into industry. And that's really what I'm hoping that people will be able to bring to us.
So, Adam, I'll ask if there are any questions or comments in a second, but for me, what might be helpful is say I have an idea of a person who might be worth putting forwards for any of the positions, doesn't matter which one they are, what should I do?
There's, if you go to the website I mentioned, the nomcomicann.org, the top of the page there is a suggest button, and it may not be exactly clear, but because it took me a moment to find it, but what will lead you to is an online form that gives you the opportunity to provide the name of the person that you're recommending and the positions that you're recommending them for. You can either do that anonymously, or you could say that, you know, I, Adam Peake, am recommending such a person, and you can say why you're recommending them. You don't have to provide all that information, just the name of the person, their contact information, and the positioning you're recommending for is the basic we need. But the more you provide...
What happens then?
That form will then go to the committee. One way or another, it will come to us via staff, our staff support, and that then we will then contact that person and say, you have been recommended. It has been recommended that we contact you about these positions. Are you interested? And we then begin a sort of, you know, recruitment process of that person. Of course, if it says that...
Okay. Well, what's the real time, the real sensible timing on that?
It would be helpful if we're closing our application period on April the 4th, so that process of recommendation, of suggesting someone, and by, say, March the 4th, so that gives us a month to make those calls,
right,
or make those emails. And I think this is a very important process, because I'm sure many of us can, you know, we've probably had the thoughts of that person might be good for ICANN in such and such a place. You know, this person has policy skills. Would they help the GNSO? Because we're not just thinking about directors, although there does tend to be a focus on that. It's important, you know, that the stronger we are in our policy-making processes, the more we can allow the ICANN board to do its job of, well, board of directors. So that's one of the things that I want to emphasize is, you know, do we know people who can really help the GNSO, for example, or do we know people who can really help YALAC? And if I was talking to the GNSO, I would, of course, say someone who can help the CCNSO, but as I'm talking to you now, I'm not making that point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
But the suggestion, okay. the suggestion form is important.
Thanks. Does anybody have any comments or questions for Adam? Okay. So Adam, I think we've got the message, and certainly I think that, you know, this process is important, and despite the fact that, you know, some of us might think there are problems with it, and that the, you know, as you know, we all know that the, you know, the ACRC has made some recommendations and stuff.
Yeah.
The process that we're in right now is the process that we have, and I think it's important that all of us who believe in this model make an effort to see if we can find some people to recommend. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, thank you very much. And just about the ATRC, what we're going to try and do is we've certainly read the recommendations, and I hope that in San Francisco we'll be able to hold a meeting with the community that is more about discussion, you know, what does the nominating committee do, how does it operate, and listening to your views on how it should operate, and trying to follow, particularly I think it was recommendations 1 and 3, about, you know, becoming more transparent and responding more to what the community thinks should be happening in this process. So we will try to begin that in San Francisco and see if we can make that, you know, a beginning of the implementing the review team's recommendations.
Thanks, Adam. That's great. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Good night.
And
thank you
for your time. Cheers. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Go back to your dinner. Bye-bye. Okay, is there anybody want to say anything about the nominating committee stuff before we move on? Okay, good. Gabby, what's next?
Approval of the SSA Working Group Volunteers.
Okay, this is the Security and Stability, the new joint working group. We have a list of 10, I think it's roughly 10 people who've put their names forward. I'd like to make a suggestion to the council, which is that we, I don't think we know yet how many people we need to put onto this working group. To a degree, it's dependent on the GNSO's position on the number of people that they want to put on, and their challenges are slightly different to ours because, of course, they're broken up into a series of constituencies. I have sent a note to Stefan van Gelder, who's the new chair of the GNSO, to ask him if they have yet decided how many people they're going to put forward as people on the working group, and I haven't had a response yet. I only sent that out a couple of days ago, and I'll chase that up. But if everyone is comfortable, what I'd like to suggest is that the chair and the vice chairs of the CCNSO are tasked by the council to take the input from the GNSO on the numbers and to create a slate of recommended people to be put onto that working group out of the list of volunteers that we've got, on the principle that probably 10 is too many, that we come back to the council on the list as soon as possible with our recommended slate. Does anybody have a problem with that that approach? Okay, good. So on that basis, I think, Gabby, if we can just minute that the vice chairs and the chair will produce a slate after consulting with the GNSO on numbers, then I think we can move forward on that. And I'd like to I'd like to try and get that sorted out. Obviously, depending on getting a response from the GNSO, I'd like to try and get that sorted out on the list rather than waiting till the next council meeting, which I think is in February or the 1st of March or whenever, so that we can process it as quickly as possible and try and get this working group up and running in time for San Francisco. Okay, Gabby, what's next?
The Country and Territory Names Working Group.
Study group.
Maybe. First working group on the agenda.
Bart, it's a study group, right?
It's a study group on the paper.
Am I still?
No, we've got you, Bart. No, you've gone again. Anyway, it's a study
group. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Bart.
Okay. First of all, just a point for the record with regard to the DSSA working group. It is, say, Bill Manning is not a CCTLD, so the suggestion will be to say appoint him directly or invite him as a member or expert to the working group. So that was, and now to your question, it is a study group.
Thank you. Just to give you a bit of an update, we've got Becky has agreed to be the co-chair of this working group, study group. Sorry, I'm doing it now. Study group. Annabeth was going to be the chair, but she has. Said that she can't. She's basically being asked by .no or tasked by .no to do a whole heap of things in Norway, which means that she can't give the necessary time. But that's okay. What we'll do is she still wants to be involved, but just not as chair. So what we'll do is, I think we'll get the volunteers together, and then once we've got the people who are prepared to do it together, we'll organise a chair out of the people who are prepared to do that, co-chaired with Becky. I think we can't. It's not appropriate for Becky to be the chair because she's not actually a CCTLD manager. So it's great that she's prepared to be the co-chair, but obviously, not necessarily appropriate that she's the chair. So Bart, on that basis, what do we actually need to do? Do we need to make a call for volunteers, or
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Yeah. Okay. The first step is adoption of the statement, and then the call for volunteers.
Okay, so we need to adopt the charter of the study group, which you sent out a while ago. So, does anybody have any problems, comments to make about the statement of purpose for the study group? Okay, good. So on that basis, we can adopt that. And Gabby, we can make a call for volunteers, I think.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Now, Gabby, you can deal with that. Just to give everyone an update, I had a meeting today with the Australian government about the new GTLD process. Generally, there's a GAC, as you know, there's a GAC board meeting in Brussels on the 28th of February and the 1st of March. It is an open meeting in that people can go to it or observe it or listen to it online or whatever. But it's only for GAC and board plus people who are asked to contribute. The Australian government's position is that specifically on the geographic names, is that they support the CCNSO position that country names, typically country names, should be basically just excluded full stop. And they're going to take that view into the GAC board meeting. I am, I've been asked to go to that, and I've said I'll think about it, and I may well go, because even though we're not, you know, we're not participating in the sense of being, you know, involved in the discussion, there is a, I've been told that having representatives of the various different supporting organisations and advisory committees would be helpful. So that may happen. But if we can get, if we were able to get the specific country names themselves excluded, that leaves us for the study group with the next issues down, which are names that are not actually the specific names of the country, Holland being the, perhaps the easiest example to deal with. So it may be that things happen over the next month that have a, an effect on what the study group actually needs to deal with, but nonetheless we still need to do it. Are there any comments or questions on that? Okay, excellent. Gabby, what's next?
This is the working group updates, DRD working group.
Ah, okay. This is delegation and redelegation working group update. The latest report's been published, and the final reports are likely to be published by the working group when, but? Silence from you, Bart.
I've never known Bart so quiet.
I'm completely perplexed by this, Leslie. I have no idea what's going on.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Bart.
Oh, Jesus. No, I'm going on mute now and then, and then it's, I don't know, probably my phone is broken down. And next time I start to scream like when I call my children sometimes. Could you repeat your question, please?
When is the working group publishing the final report?
It's hopefully by mid-February. Say they have to, it's been sent to the working group last week, and so they do their first reading, and normally they work on two or three readings of the of a report before it will be published. So hopefully by mid-February.
Okay, so the goal is that the final report is published in enough time to have it open for public comment and close in San Francisco on the Tuesday, after we have a session with the members on the Tuesday. If we're able to... Hi, did someone just join?
Hey, Hilberto.
Sorry, didn't hear who that was.
It's Eric.
Oh, hi, Eric.
I'm sorry, delay.
No problem. So, if that's the case, then that will mean that the council will be able to accept the final report in its council meeting on the Wednesday in San Francisco, and assuming that the recommendations of the final report aren't changed, the main recommendation will be to set up a framework for implementation working group on delegation and redelegation. And it would be great if we are able as a council to actually start that process in San Francisco. So that's the goal. If we can manage to achieve that, that would be fantastic. If we can't, well, we can't. But if we can, great. And so we should expect to have on our agenda for the council meeting in San Francisco the acceptance of the final report, and if we are minded to accept the recommendations, to take the first steps to set up the framework of implementation interpretation working group. That's basically it, Bart, isn't it?
Yes, and in order to say before the final report, and if you have any questions, maybe for the next call, maybe you might want to read the fourth progress report, because the final report is, again, building on the recommendations included in that report.
Yeah. Excellent. Any comments or questions on that? Brilliant. What's the next one, Gabby?
RDM PDP Working Group 1.
But
there isn't much to tell at this stage. Say the public comment period just closed. We didn't receive any, as far as I recall. I still need to check. And we will move the process forward by reviewing the substantive recommendations on the decisions, and secondly, start to include process descriptions. We're waiting for that with regard to the fast track as well, because there might be some overflow of recommendations.
Yes. Now, our input and comment on the fast track review has gone in, but nothing's happened since then, has it, Bart?
No. It's that public comment period has been extended until the 31st of January. So I expect that by the end of February, there will be a summary of comments, especially now that Tina Dam is no longer with ICANN staff.
So do we have any idea who's going to have the running of this project within ICANN at the moment?
No, not really. There are two persons. Say, Naila Saris, who used to be with, or maybe still is with IANA, the IANA staff, but she's taking over the responsibilities of Tina with regard to the fast-track process. So the operational aspects of it, and say in principle, Kurt Pritz is responsible for some of the work regarding variant management, and the other parts of Tina's job, I have no idea. So it's not been sorted out yet.
Okay. Leslie, that's another one to add to your list.
Do you know, I was just thinking that, but I thought that was probably poor humour.
Yeah, well, that's why you could rely on me to come up with it. Oh, dear. Okay. I think that's dealt with that one as far as we can go with it. Did somebody just join the call?
Paolo.
Okay, sorry, Paolo. Gabby, what's next?
IDN PDP Working Group 2.
Hira.
Yes. About the Working Group 2, nothing happened after Cartagena physical meeting on Thursday, which was the next day of council meeting. And 2-month-long public comment period on the interim report was closed just last Friday. As far as I know, we received no public comment at all. But is it correct?
Yes, you're right, Nero.
Okay. And so we will hold the next conference call on Friday 10th. And there we will discuss about further comments among the working group members, if any, to confirm the current interim report, and we will also discuss on the necessary change of CCNSO rules and responsibility documents to follow the proposal of the interim report. This is a report from the working group too.
Thank you, Hiro. Are there any questions or comments? Good. Next one, Gabby.
That's the Jake working group.
Gian.
We just completed the public comments period for draft final report on single character IDMPID. Next step will be complete final report on single character IDMPID. If we could reach consensus within the JAC, the report should be sent to each council for their consideration. A note is that many of the comments touched on IDM variants and ask us to make it a priority. But on IDM variant side, due to the leaving of Tina, we do not have further information on the staff proposal study. Next step is to finalize the initial report to be public to be published for public comment. That's pretty much it.
When do you think we're likely to get the report on the single character TLD issue?
It should be soon because we just closed the the final comments on that. Adam and me are going to work on that, on the final report.
Okay.
We'll try to get it maybe before San Francisco meeting.
Okay. So we should probably make a note that we may need to endorse or not endorse that recommendation in San Francisco.
Or
yeah,
maybe even before.
If we could get consensus within JAG. That's the first step. And then we should provide that to each council.
Thanks, Jan. Fantastic. Thank you. Any comments on that one? Okay. Gabby?
SOP working group.
And we're minus Byron, and we don't have Rollis. So I know that, there's a meeting on that part soon, isn't there?
I hope so. First of all, the comment period has been extended until today on the strategic plan. Byron will submit the letter as produced by the SOP working group today. And the SOP working group say 3 out of 5 teams have put together some comments, and we'll probably consolidate these comments as submission.
Okay. And the letter from the council to the chair and the CEO about the general strategic planning process was sent in Cartagena. It hasn't yet appeared, or it hadn't yet appeared on the ICANN correspondence list. I sent a note to Diane, who apologized profusely and said that she'd been away and that she would make sure that it was posted soon.
Chris, on the same subject, say, of letters sent by the council to the chair, maybe you could send a reminder regarding the wildcarding study as well.
Yeah,
because that was...
I think she's working on trying to get everything posted. I know
okay,
she's been away.
Yeah.
But I will chase that up. Thanks for that reminder, Bart. That's great. What's next, Gabby?
Finance working group.
Okay, which is the new one. And again, that's actually Byron's new job. Bart, has anything actually happened yet?
No, so what we've done, and I've just sent it off, we tried to compile some old data, and based on that one, the finance working group said Byron is looking at that and will initiate the process of the finance working group. What is also, I've seen some dates regarding the framework or the operational planning framework. It is expected to be published around mid-February, late February, that's say my interpretation, and the public comment will run over into early March, but dates are not definite, but say in that sense to get geared up with the operational planning process, the SOP and finance working group are on time, not as with regard to the strategic planning process.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion on the SOP and the finance working group, which is that Rolliff is joining the council in San Francisco, and he's that's right, isn't it, Gabby?
Yes, it's not Gabby,
Gabby.
But
I'm sorry.
And he's
joining just after the meeting. meeting. Sorry, Chris. He's joining just after the meeting.
Yeah, I think it would be useful, Gabby, if we invited, unless anybody objects, I think it would be useful if we invited Roloff to join the council call, our next council call, and I forget the date of that, given that he is going to be on the council and that he's going to be chairing the SOP. I think that's a sensible thing to do. If nobody has a problem with that, we should extend that invitation to him. Okay, I'll take that as no one has a problem, so that's excellent. Next one, Gabby.
The San Francisco meeting agenda, and Andre is not on the call and he asked me to give an update. So the program worker group has met and they produced the first draft agenda, which I sent to you, and I would just like to draw the attention to two sessions. The first session on Wednesday morning is the security session, which includes a DSSA working group update and an SSR review. After that, we were going to follow up with two more presentations on security. We have one from Puerto Rico. They're going to talk about how they've been hacked. But we need another speaker, and the program working group thought it would be a good idea to ask the council for suggestions. So if you can think of any good speakers, please let me know.
Gabby, I've just emailed you on that, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, so we've done some penetration testing work, which might be quite transferable, stroke of value.
And so who should I contact about that? Is that Simon?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll contact him. Thank you.
If anyone else has better ideas, fine. It just might be of interest in terms of social engineering penetration.
Wow, that sounds incredibly dangerous, Leslie. Social engineering penetration. Okay.
It's actually your people that are more likely to be the people affected.
An
attack is more likely to be via somebody getting into your building or one of your staff making a mistake, as opposed to the traditional, there's somebody hacking from somewhere remotely.
Sure. Okay, well, yes, you're right, and that sounds like it will be really interesting. So let's chalk that one in unless there's another suggestion. Brilliant. And, Gabby, what else? Is there anything else we need to do in respect to the current draft agenda? Are you looking for anything from any of
the panelists? There's a second session which I would like to highlight, and that's the DNSSEC panel. We're going to have a DNSSEC panel dealing with administrative aspects of DNSSEC, because that has been on the wish list of people for quite a while. So we're trying to get that together now, and we're probably going to invite some registrars again. And again, if you have any suggestions for speakers or panelists, then I'm really happy to hear from you.
Okay.
Gabby, I had a comment on that point as well. When I first saw the program, I thought an admin aspect would be dreadfully boring. I just wonder if maybe it could be titled in such a way that makes it attractive. I think the format we've got into, where we've had a kind of panel interesting session at the end of the day, has been quite a good one. And that title made me think, are we just going back to talking in a different way, as it were? So maybe it just needs selling better.
We actually talked about that at the program working group call as well. So because we couldn't come up with anything better right now, we left it. But, yeah, we're happy to change it. So if you have anything fun to say about DNSSEC, please let me know.
Okay. And leaving aside DNSSEC, security, stability, and all those irrelevant things, what about lunch and dinner?
I hate to say this, but the prices in San Francisco are extremely high, and I can start with negotiating with the hotel to get down the lunch costs, because they're apparently horrible. So they're still negotiating. We do have potential sponsors. I don't know what they will say when they actually see the prices. We don't know yet, but we have potential sponsors for the two meeting days. We don't have anyone for the tech day, which actually will be 2 days as well this time, yet. For the dinner, yes, we need sponsors. I have been dealing a lot with .us. They have been very kind to they will arrange the dinner, and they have promised they would. We would try to get it together, even though it's, again, extremely expensive. But, yeah, we do need a lot of sponsors. That's all I can say. So.
Well, let me lead and say that Australia will do something, whether it's dinner, lunch, or whatever, will do something. And hopefully others will come along and join so that we can uphold the incredibly high standards that we've managed to maintain for as long as we have. Just on that note, some of you may know this already, but if you don't, the cost of sponsorship for this meeting appears to have suddenly had a massive increase. What used to be a $10,000 sponsorship, I have no idea whether that's silver, gold, platinum, bronze, or whatever, is currently sitting at $25,000. So I do know that a number of registries and commercial organisations that have always in the past been sponsors are struggling to cope with the new sponsorship financial levels, whether those are unique to San Francisco or are intended to be continued on, I don't know, but it's fairly difficult at the moment. But from the point of view of our lunches and our dinner, I'm sure that between us we'll all be able to work it out and get something sorted. So, Gabby, can we say that .us will be organising it, and we just need to find the dinner, that is, and we can just need to organise financial contributions? Is that right?
Yes, they will both organise. They will also contribute. So we will try our best to get it together, but we do need a lot of contributions.
Okay, that's
Chris?
Fine. Excellent. Chris? Yes, Leslie. Sorry,
Jan. No, this is Youngham.
Sorry, Youngham. I apologize.
Hi. No, go off. .kr is willing to sponsor the dinner.
Excellent. All right. Well, all I would say is that those who are willing to put contributions in, be they for lunches or for dinners, should get in touch with Gabby, and that will enable Gabby to put a pot together that we can use for the required feeding of the CCTLDs. Okay, Gabby, what's next?
Transition to new chair.
Ah, okay. So, I sent a note out a while ago saying that Leslie had agreed to put her name forward, and saying that I thought it was important that we tried to organise this early on, so that we could have a transition, not just a sort of immediate transition in San Francisco in March, but have a sort of lead-in time. Leslie has, and thank you for doing that, Leslie sent out a note of her reasons for wanting to do it, and I note some reasons why we might not want you to do it, Leslie, so thank you for that.
Indeed, I'm happy to drop off the call if you want to talk about me.
No, you don't need to drop off the call at all, that's fine. So I asked if anybody else who was interested or thought they might want to put their name forward as the new chair of the CCNSO would let me know, and no one has done that. So what I would like to do is, I'm not asking us to do anything formally at this stage. I don't think it's necessary, but I do think that we should at least accept that we haven't yet had anyone else interested in putting their name forward. And if that's the case, then we don't need to have a formal process for an election prior to San Francisco. What I would like to do is to ask that the council, at this stage at least, to check in with everybody that they're comfortable with Leslie becoming the new chair. And if that's the case, then what I would suggest is that on our call, our next call, which, Gabby, I've got no idea when that is. Is
it 1st of March.
1st of March. 1st of March, we actually put a formal resolution to the council that, subject to my actual resignation in San Francisco, that we would endorse and approve Leslie as the new chair of the council. Is there any discussion or comments on that?
Chris?
Yes.
Chris, this is Youngham?
Yes, Youngham.
Yes, I'd just like to mention that I think I speak for most of the people when I say that I truly appreciate Leslie coming forward and stating her interest in taking your very unfillable place. And I have great faith in Leslie.
Well, thank you, Yana.
Thank you.
And I would like to ditto that. This is Dottie.
So Dottie dittos, Gabby. Okay. Anyone else want to say anything? Okay. So can you make a note that at our call on the 1st of March, we will have an agenda item for the new chair of the CCNSO to take their seat at the appropriate time at the council meeting in San Francisco. And that way we will know for sure that that is going to be Leslie, and that enables Leslie and Bart and me and everyone else to do some work prior to the meeting to make sure that the transition occurs smoothly. I'm assuming there are no objections to that, and if that's the case, Gabby, if you could just minute that we will pass that resolution in at our meeting, or at least we will put that resolution rather at our meeting on the 1st of March. And what I'd like to do, Gabby, is to just to make sure that it is completely clear. I think we should ask those councillors who are not going to be available to be at the telephone meeting on the 1st of March to indicate their agreement or otherwise by email prior to the meeting. And that way I think we have the makings of a formal process that is that means that basically it's seamless in San Francisco. Excellent. What's next, Gabby? I should say, Leslie, thank you. And you and I will spend a whole heap of time between now and San Francisco, subject to our both busy schedules trying to work this out.
Thanks, Chris.
But thank you. Gabby, what's next?
Email list subscriptions of new counselors.
Sorry, could you say that again slowly?
Email list subscriptions of new counsellors.
What does that mean?
Well, you wanted it there.
Whether new counsellors can join the CCNSO council mailing list?
Okay. Well, yes. seems to me. Does anybody have a problem if we... The ICANN board... situation is that they put their incoming people onto mailing lists and calls before they actually physically join, so that they can get up to speed, etc. And I think that's a perfectly sensible way of doing things. I've already said I think Roloff should be on the next call and so on. So, does anybody have a problem if we, as a general principle, once we have people nominated, even if they haven't technically joined yet, they are joined to our lists when they are actually approved. Is that okay? Does anyone have a problem with that? Okay, good. So we can do that. Excellent. Gabby?
CCNSO website closed section, and that's me. So, as you know, we have a new website, and when we did, when we wanted to find out what people wanted from the new website, we had some indications that some people wanted to have a closed section. So, just before the Cartagena meeting, to find out more about this, I sent out a mini survey to 20 community members. I only had 7 replies, so it's certainly not representative, but it does indicate somewhat what the thoughts are. So only one person said clearly no, they don't want to have a closed section for transparency reasons, and the site should not be used for discussions on sensitive topics. The rest actually said they wanted to have some kind of closed section, mainly to have working group discussions up there. They wanted to have some kind of chat function there and to be able to put up sensitive, not yet approved documents and so on. But also there was a wish to have some statistics, other sensitive data up there, such as financial reports, or someone suggested to put up a kind of address book where all the community members put up their contact details or presenters that we had and so on, which seems to be a good idea, but that can't be on an open section. Also, someone suggested we should do voting to the council and ICANN board on the closed session. So that's the result. We don't really know how to deal with this. It's actually up to you to say what we should go for. This night, Christine and I are going to have a meeting with someone in Marina del Rey because we're actually going to get a new tool called Confluence, and that's a kind of wiki page. And I think that pretty much of this, especially this working group discussions, we seem to be the main requirement, can be done through this new wiki system. That would be that just the working group members would be invited to enter that page. And probably we think, if we remember correctly, there will be a chat function too. So I think that pretty much can be covered by this very lightweight wiki page. And that's all I have to report.
So what you're looking for us to do is to tell you whether there should be a closed section, whether it's for working groups or for the council generally, and you'll then figure out how to do it. Is that basically right?
Well, you should, let me know the direction, whether we should explore this at all or we should just not do it.
Okay.
We don't really know how to move forward.
Yeah. So, I'm happy to have a discussion about it right now, but it strikes me that this may be something that we should have a discussion on the list about. I'm wondering, Gabby, if you could perhaps send a note to the council list that sets out effectively what you've just said, and the results of the survey, and then we can sort of muse about it on the list and then make a decision about whether we think it's a good idea or not.
I will also, after tonight, I will know more what this new tool can help us with. So, yeah, I can send in more detailed email about that.
Well, if everyone's okay with it, why don't you do that, and we'll discuss it on the list, and then make a decision either on the list or perhaps in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Okay. So if no one objects, that's what we'll do. Okay, good. Fantastic. Gabby, anything else that we need to talk about?
Liaison updates.
Okay. We've got the GNSO one by email, I think.
Yes, both.
And Ron's. I haven't seen Ron's.
It came last Friday.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just probably just me. I apologize. Ron, have you got, given that you're on the call, have you got anything that you want to add?
Well, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, of course.
Oh, good. First thing, I would like to remind everybody that Rudy
is no longer the liaison from ALAC, and that Cheryl is with her and with us right now, and I'd like to welcome Cheryl.
I would like to echo that welcome to Cheryl as the new ALAC representative. We're privileged to have the ex-chair of the ALAC on our liaison with the ALAC. So welcome, Cheryl.
Why, thank you, kind sirs and madam.
secondly, I have been sending, as is my wont, reports as they happen rather than saving them all up to just before the meeting, and I did send a summary of those January reports for people that may have missed one or two. I usually am able to include in my reports the outcome of the ALAC meeting, which generally has happened before the CCNSO meeting. Unfortunately, the meetings are on the same day today, and the ALAC meeting starts in about 45 minutes, so I won't be able to report on that until later. There is something that just happened. You were discussing the possibility of using a new conference tool called Confluence, and Cheryl is with us, and ALAC have been using that tool for some months now, and so there is certainly some ALAC experience that could be shared, and I would like to ask Cheryl now whether, in fact, there is a private area of that wiki, and whether you're using it, and whether it's proved usable.
Well, thank you, Ron. In fact, yes, we found the Confluence Wiki tool a extremely valuable tool. We've particularly found it useful in work group and getting comments integrated into document development. We've also done some other fancy things with it, such as some macros that we've had purpose built to meet some of our needs when we were scoring the 40-odd statements of interest that came in for the position of the at-large elected board member seat. So it's an open-source tool. We've found, having been the beta tester, sure it has its moments, but apart from anything else, you can make it do whatever you want to do with an ability to find plug-and-play or macros that pretty well suit anyone's needs, and it works in any number of languages as well. So we're more than happy with it. We find it a very good productivity tool because of the ease of allowing content updating and uploading.
How did you, Cheryl, how did you get to understand how it worked? Did you have some sort of initiation ceremony or?
Yes. In fact, we did have a couple of feel free to dial in and we will take you through with some expert-type teleconference calls, which were facilitated using the data chat room so that people could all see and share the operator's desk space, so they knew, you know, what was being clicked and what was being activated. And we've also spent a little bit of time in one of our face-to-face meeting times back in Brussels, actually, introducing our rank and file to it. And we've found that the staff that are at ICANN have been very, very helpful in giving us any support that we needed when we needed it from time to time.
And who actually organised that for you?
Well, because we said we would, as a community, be a first cab off the rank in beta testing, Heidi's worked directly with, I'm having a mental blank, sorry, I'm really not very well, with one of the IT guys. And I can give that information to Bart, and we've had no difficulty getting what we needed when we needed it.
But if Gabby spoke to Heidi, then Heidi would be able to tell Gabby what it was that you did in order to get used to it and using it.
Yeah, and the name is Naveed. I don't know why I couldn't think of Naveed till then, but I have now. Naveed, who was
excellent. So Gabby, could you perhaps liaise with Heidi and see if we could get some an opportunity to play with the play with it?
Yep, sure.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Anything else before we close the call?
I had a comment, Chris, on
ALAC.
I don't mean this to be critical of our liaisons in any way, but it just struck me the other day that the CCNSO, I think, have always had quite a good working relationship with the GAC, and we're developing the GNSO, but we don't seem to have the equivalent with ALAC. So I'm sure there must be matters of interest for ALAC people in the CCNSO and vice versa. And we're great at sharing information backwards and forwards. But it kind of struck me that maybe we might be missing an opportunity going forwards to actually join together on issues that are of common interest. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Liz. Thanks, Leslie. You're absolutely right, and I'll hand it to Ron and Cheryl in a second. But you're absolutely right, and it reminds me of something that I had actually intended to bring up on this call. So thank you for that. I had a conversation with Olivier, the new chair of the ALAC, and we talked about the possibility of having in the same way that we have a standing gathering with the GNSO Council, having a standing gathering with the ALAC. We have done it at least once, where we had a joint session, and again it's of course a function of timing, but I think getting together at least is a starting point for that. Very good point. Ron, Cheryl, do you have anything that you'd like to say on that?
I would just wholeheartedly support that. No surprises from my message there. I think particularly as we're finding a number of the cross-community working groups and looking at who is populating a number of ongoing work groups at the moment, it's essential that the ACs and the SOs work far more closely, not only as chair-to-chair relations, which of course has been very good, but more formally with the councils and committees as such.
Okay. And I agree with that. I think that's important. So maybe what we should do is make sure that we take the opportunity in San Francisco to sit with perhaps Leslie and me and Olivier and our liaisons and whoever the vice chairs of the ALAC are, and talk about how going forwards we can make that work. That would be useful, I think. Leslie, that would be a good starting point for what you're talking about, would it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I agree, Chris. There's one other thing I might add. Just we have recently had some concern about people being unable to attend fixed-date meetings for the CCNSO Council, and ALAC has that on a very wide scale because of the complexity of what they do, and they use a tool that is called Doodle that is really a tool for determining the best and places for meetings, and it automatically finds.
Yeah,
we do use that,
Ron. We use that for setting up our own working group meetings and stuff like that. So,
okay.
But I agree. We should. I was talking more specifically about meetings at meetings as opposed to meetings outside of meetings. But I understand what you're saying, and I think it's a tool we use a lot. So thank you. Anyone else?
Well, it seems to me that ALAC is always meeting several days before ICANN begins, making the commitment longer for going to represent that group than the rest of us. Does anybody agree with that? Is that true?
Cheryl, when do you start your meetings normally?
Sorry, I was going to say, if I may, Chris, yes. There has been occasions where we've started on the Saturday, but it's the standard operational procedure for us to start on the Sunday, so the day before the ICANN meeting formally starts.
Okay. I mean, it's a good point, Dottie. We all of us have. I mean, I assume that I'm going to need to be around at least on a Sunday, and often on assuming the meeting starts on a Monday, that is, and often on a Saturday. So, you know, maybe that's something we need to sort of feed into our discussions about how we plan these meetings and how we make the best use of the time.
Well, I wasn't thinking about Saturday and Sunday. It just seems to me that when people go, say they're going to ALAC, they go on Wednesday, and maybe there are committees or something.
I don't think that's right.
No,
I really think
they do have meetings earlier in the week, but it may be special purpose groups or something.
Cheryl?
If they're going before, if anyone is arriving to do anything for ALAC or for regional leadership before the Saturday, it would be exceptional. We only provide travel funding to the GNSO liaison and other relevant liaisons if, for example, GNSO meets on Saturday, so they arrive on the Saturday. Or four meetings on the Saturday, so they arrive on the Friday, and we all try and have our people at least, you know, vaguely rested before they do their full work on the Sunday. So most of our people arrive on the Saturday. If they're arriving on Wednesday, they're doing so in their own time and probably for their own activities.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anyone else?
Chris, are we under any other business now, or are we still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we're on to AOB. Yeah, we're on to AOB.
Yeah. So I have one thing to say there.
Okay, go ahead.
And Eric wants to say something too. Eric, go first. Go ahead first.
Thanks, Gabby. I have a point about the point three of the today's agenda about the UNESCO request. Sorry for delay and arrived late to the call. I don't know if the council decides something, but for us, for LACTLD, could be complex help in that process, because only six of our 40 members have public information about the domain name's quantity, and the rest have that information like reserve and only use in internal for CCTLD community share. So could be the best way for UNESCO maybe request directly or to the CCTLDs or to the maybe the regional organizations, but in our case will be very, very complex.
That's what we decided, Eric. We agreed that we thought that the best way of doing it was for the CCNSO to go to the regional organizations and to jointly send out with the regional organizations, UNESCO, and us a survey. We think the survey is a good idea, but we think that the best way of getting it out to the CCTLDs is through the regional organizations, and we acknowledge that there will be a number of CCTLDs that simply don't have access to the data, but that's the point of surveys. You only get responses or full responses from those that have the available information. So, yes, we agree with that, and we think... So what we agreed was that I would go back to Yanis Karklins and say, yes, we think it's a good idea, and we think we should do it jointly with the regional organizations, and then we would then talk to you and Peter and Eric and Gian and work out how to do it from there. Okay?
Perfect. Thanks.
Excellent. Gabby?
Yeah, so this is just a small formal thing. So quite often we receive requests from people to join working groups after that the membership has already been decided and appointed by the council. So the real formal way to do it is to go back to you and ask you to confirm this person. But to spare some time, I was just wondering if it's okay that we can just change the process slightly and so that we go to the chair of the working group first and ask them for the approval and then just inform you that we've added these people?
I think that's fine, generally speaking. In fact, I think probably if everyone's okay with it, that the chair of the working group can agree that new people should be added to the working group, that actually we should, for future charters, consider the possibility of saying that if we, you know, someone's been appointed the chair of the working group, they should be able to agree to add additional volunteers if they think it's necessary or important, and then inform the council of that. And generally speaking, I think that's a very efficient and sensible way of doing it. Does anybody object?
I do, Chris. I think it's absolutely administratively fine as a process, but it gives you a difficult issue if there's a very controversial candidate.
Right, but if the chair of the working group, if the chair of the working group, I mean, we, you know, it's late in the call, so if it's challenging, we can put it off to the next call. I have no problem with that. But if you're entrusting the working group to the management of a chair, then presumably we think that chair is capable of managing it. Would it solve the issue if it was endorsed? If it came to the council as the chair recommendation?
As will be obvious, I've not thought it through fully because it was news when Gabby said it just now. Nine times out of ten, it will not be a problem and doesn't actually probably make a difference. I just wonder if we just might need to think a little bit about the one time out of ten where there will be a problem. And if you have a situation where a chair is proposing somebody who the council disagrees with, then straight away you're in difficult territory, perhaps.
I accept that. What about if we roll it forward to the next council meeting as an itemized agenda item, and we think about it in the meantime and then have a proper discussion about it at the next meeting. Is that okay?
Absolutely, and don't wish to be difficult. It's just
No, I understand completely. I think I completely take your point. I mean, you could, as you say, in your one time out of ten, see a circumstance where it would be challenging and difficult. So
yeah, because in effect, it could become a new route of people who maybe don't get on the first time round to actually getting on in a lot more quicker way later on. Yeah.
Okay. No, I accept that. Gabby, can we perhaps just make a note that we'll put this on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah.
And if we could, Gabby, what would be really helpful is if you could send a note out to the council, just sort of setting out the fact that, you know, this is an issue, or this is the issue that you think exists, and the one possible solution is that we do what you've suggested, and then we can think about it and then have a proper discussion about it on the 1st of March.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, good. Does anyone else have any other items of any other business? Okay, fantastic. So on that basis, I'll call the council call to an end, and we'll all gather again on the 1st of March in our various places around the world.
Thanks.
Thank you very much,
thanks,
everybody. Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Everyone. Bye-bye.
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 Bye, everyone.
Mm-hmm.